so good to be here. My name is Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock is my name. If your name was Jason Whitlock, then our names would be the same. If you don't know me, it's because we haven't met yet. If you do know me, it's because we have met. And so I'm excited to be here today. As Eric said, I feel like this is a place that is like a second home. I get to hang out with you guys every year, and it is a thrill. I've watched some of these people. I'm going to sound old when I say this. I've watched some of them grow in their faith and in their leadership, and in ways that can only be reflected like a proud dad or an uncle. And so I am very honored to get to watch these two young men that sit back here in this back row that serve diligently and wholeheartedly with Andrew, and the way that these guys work and the way that they love. And I love the fact that they have strong leadership that's pouring into them and continuing to empower them so that they can make an impact. Because Eric, what you and Adam are doing by allowing them to lead is a beautiful thing. And so thank you for your leadership, for your power, for your empowerment, and the way that you just continue to seek God by allowing them to step up in ways that are strong. Thank you. And thank you for allowing me the privilege of stepping into this space today to share on your behalf and on His behalf. God, thank you so much. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are. Lord, and that is humbling because of the fact that I know who I am. So I thank you for who you are and what you've done, as only you can. Lord, and today I pray that you soften hearts. I pray, God, that you open ears. And you just allow us to be present today with your Spirit. Because, God, where you are is where we want to be. And I thank you, God, that you're continuing to work in spite of my inadequacies, in spite of my talents, God, whatever it may be, Lord, this is about you today, and we thank you and give you all the praise and glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you can't look neat if your shoes look beat. Just sit on down and I'll take care of the rest. Just say yes, I'll take care of the rest. Oh, I'm telling you, sir, you have a great time. You sit on down right here. I'll make sure. I'll make sure that you know exactly what you need. Here, let me get you your chair. Here we are. Right there. See, when you put a smile on your shoe, your heart will shine too. Step right up. You can tell a lot about a person by their shoes. Where they've been, where they're going. My grandpa used to say, a person's tread lets you know what's going on in their head. Journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. For me, it was not quite a step. It was more of a stumble. I guess that's why they call it a trip. I was in the kitchen making breakfast for my wife. Nothing complex, just some eggs and some toast, some fresh sliced fruit. She came walking in. I handed her a cup of coffee, and she gave me a kiss on the cheek. That woman. She was just about to take a sip from that cup of coffee, and she got this disgusted look on her face. I said, honey, everything okay? She said, there's blood on my cup. What? Blood? She said, your hand is bleeding. Well, when did that happen? I didn't even know that I had cut myself. Went over to the sink and started to wash my hand. As I was washing my hand, I couldn't even feel the water. I thought that the aches, the pains, the loss of strength in my hand was just me getting older, but no, surely not. Surely this, no. She watched as I bandaged my hand. She gave me a kiss on the cheek as I headed out the door to go visit the priest. We both knew that when I walked out that door, that I wasn't going to be coming back. Tears started streaming down my face. One word, unclean, was the only thing that that priest said to me as he covered his mouth and waved me away with his hand. Like abracadabra, I was supposed to disappear. Oh, it wasn't his fault. I mean, I don't blame him. He was just doing his job. I mean, it's the law. I was told to tear my clothes, to cover my mouth with a scarf, and to wear a bell around my neck. All I could do was walk away. I left my wife, ding. I left my house, ding. I left my job, ding. I left my family and friends, ding. I left everything, ding. And with every step, that cursed bell reminded me. I wish that they had given me a how-to manual on how to be a leper. But I wandered around for 3 days before I finally found a group of lepers living outside the city in some cave on the side of a mountain. You know, when I was a boy, we lived by a wheat field. Every once in a while, a mouse would get in the house. One time, some got trapped in the wall, and it died. And boy, it sang something awful. But you know, I would have bottled that and worn it as a perfume in comparison to the smell that I encountered when I came up on that cave. It smelled like a junior high boy's. It smelled worse than a junior high boy's locker room. It smelled like somebody had taken rotten eggs, sour milk, and poured it over a whole bunch of sweaty socks and stuffed them with roadkill. The stench was unbearable. I walked in, and those guys that were in that space, those people in there, well, they didn't even really acknowledge me. They just looked at me. They was a bit surprised to see me, I think. But they didn't say nothing. You know, with leprosy, it's not the disease that kills the leper. It's the starvation. You can't find nothing to eat. You've got to dig through the garbage to find something. Or fight with the dogs to get the table scraps. Or it's the drinking water that's so dirty that every time you take a drink it makes you sick. It's the isolation, the loneliness causes you to go crazy, lose your mind. It's the hopelessness. After 5 years, I had lost everything. And now I had lost 3 fingers, 2 toes, my right ear, and the tip of my nose, as well as every single person that I had met in that cave when I first showed up. But I did not lose my sense of smell. I was cursed by God. Why did he let this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? One day I was out looking for some food. I was trying to find something to eat when I could hear this man. He was talking on the other side of the mountain, and there had to be thousands of people. And I wandered up, not too close, but I could hear what he was saying. He was talking about, he was talking about fulfilling the law. He talked about the pure in heart seeing God. He talked about treating people the way you want to be treated. I stayed downwind of that group of people, but I listened to that man for hours. And when he started to come down off that mountain, my rage turned to trust, and my anger turned to hope. And I don't know what came over me, but as he came down that hill, I ran towards him. Everybody else in that crowd, they parted in fear. But me, I ran right up to him. Their panic I had seen before, but his compassion, I hadn't. That cursed bell that had been around my neck had caused every single person to step backwards. It was a warning to all of them that I was unclean, like they needed it. As soon as they saw me, I didn't even need the bell. They just thought, oh my goodness, unclean, unclean on aisle 6, unclean. You'd have thought there's a PA system everywhere that I went. They was just screaming, unclean, like I was some kind of monster. Oh, the parents would be hiding their children back behind me. Not behind me, but behind them, so that they couldn't see me. But in their defense, I must have looked like a character from The Walking Dead. But this man, the compassion that he had in his eyes for me, that was new. And I fell at his feet. And I remember staring at his feet. I had walked around with my head down for so long, and my throat was so raw and my voice was so weak, but I just remember saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean and heal me. And he stepped forward. When everybody else had stepped back, he stepped up. He lifted my chin. He put his hand on my shoulder and put his forehead to mine. And with the sweetest words that I ever heard, he said, I'm willing. Be healed. And at his mere touch, it felt like a whole river rushed through my body. Where there had been numbness, there was warmth. Where there had been atrophy, there was strength. My back, it straightened. And my head, it lifted. My fingers that were missing, they were there. My ear, my nose, everything was restored. There was no sign of leprosy, and my skin looked Rodan Fields clear. You know, he could have healed me with just a word. He could have just said a prayer, and that would have been enough. He made it more personal than that. He stepped forward when everybody else had stepped back, and he touched me. Nobody had connected with me in 5 years. But that man, Jesus, That man Jesus, he was something else. My life was changed in an instant. And that one small step for that man was a giant leap in my life. I'm grateful that he stepped forward, just like you stepping up here today, so I could make your shoes as happy as you need to be. You know, I was telling my wife the other day, you heard me right. I was telling my wife, you know, honey, the thing that I had seen as a curse in my life was actually the thing that brought me face to face with God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, look at that. You shoes is just now happy. Where are they going to take you? The story of the leper is found in Matthew chapter 8. And it is about 4 verses long. Jesus had just preached the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he talked nonstop. And sometimes we wonder in church, when is that man ever going to end? But Jesus talked for 3 whole chapters. And people listened. The details of the leper and the encounter with Jesus, the encounter is listed in Scripture. The rest of it is purely speculation on our part. We know that he was told to go to the priest and show himself as clean. That was the only way to truly be represented in the rest of the community that he was changed. That his dead life was no more. See, to be a leper in that particular time, in that particular community, was complete and total rejection. You were isolated. You were not allowed to be part of anyone or anything. And if you are like me, you probably have felt rejected at some point in your life. Maybe it's because of a relationship that went bad. Maybe it's because you didn't get the promotion that you wanted. Maybe it's because you believe that you're not good enough. Maybe it's some random reason that has circulated long enough in your mind that it's become something that's true. See, rejection is something that it isolates us. It keeps us from being able to engage other people and the rest of the people around us. That's not at all what God intended when He created us. We weren't intended for isolation. In fact, he said it with Adam and Eve, with Adam when he was in the garden. It's not good for man to be alone. There was a reason why that he created Eve, and it wasn't just so that they could populate the earth. It was so that there could be community. Relationship. Rejection. You know, I find it interesting that the zebra has black and white stripes and it is out on the plains of Africa in a sea of green. Not the greatest camouflage. Would you agree? Here is a black and white striped animal that gallops across the prairie, and here is a lion that has incredible eyesight with a target that has zero camouflage. But here's what's interesting, is that when a zebra is in a herd, the lion can't tell where one zebra starts and where another ends. So it looks like a giant object, too big for him to attack. See, there are things in our life that we have believed and we have accepted, lies that the enemy has told us that we have made into truth, that have made us feel rejected. And rejection starts to surface in a lot of different ways, where we want to try to control everything, or we're angry about every single thing, or we're afraid of everything, because God forbid somebody don't like my picture on Instagram. Because that isolation and that separation, if the enemy can get us alone, then he can take us out. You become a snack, and not in a good way. He just wants to chew you up, spit you out, and completely eliminate you from God's plan. So today, I want us to talk about two things. I want to give us two ways to overcome rejection. Two simple things. First, open your eyes. Open your eyes. What do you mean? They're open. I know it looks like I'm tired, but they're open. Open your eyes. Open your eyes and ask yourself this question. What lie have I accepted as truth? What's something that is not true, but I have made it true in my life? That I'm not good enough, that I can't live up to that, that nobody likes me, that I'm not loved, that I'm not accepted, that I'm not worthy. Whatever it might be that's led to that lie that feeds that rejection, what is that lie that you've accepted as truth? I hear a song on the radio that I really like. You Say, by Lauren Daigle. See, opening your eyes begins to be about identifying what God truly says about you instead of what you've accepted as true. Instead of adopting a false standard of truth, you have to go back to the source of truth in order to know what's real and what's not real. You say that I'm loved when I feel nothing at all. In Ephesians 2. You say I'm strong when I feel weak. 2 Corinthians 12. You say that I'm held when I keep falling short. Isaiah 41. When I don't feel like I fit or belong, you say, God, you say I'm yours. In Isaiah 43. He says that nothing can separate us from His love in Romans 8. He says that He chose you and calls you friend, and He gave His life for His friend in John 15. He will never leave you or forget about you, Hebrews 13. Why are these things important? It's because the enemy attacks your mind. And if he attacks your mind, he begins to change the way that you see the world around you. Because what you view determines what you do. Your point of view determines what you do. Your perspective determines your action. Oh, let me put it this way. You know exactly what I'm talking about. When you get that text message or that email and you are just having a sour Monday, you haven't had your coffee, because somebody forgot to fix it for you that morning. Bless God, how dare they take the last cup. You are late because somebody did not restart the dryer and now your clothes are wet. You are having the worst hair day and you ain't even got no hair. But you are working through that day, doing everything you can, and you look down at that text message or at that email, and your mood becomes the view by which you read it. Hey, when are you going to be here? Is the way that the person sent that message, but instead it came across like, hey, when are you going to be here? Right? Whatever mood you're in, whatever point of view you have, determines the way that you respond. And that's reflected in the world that we live in today with people who feel like that they are constantly a victim. Well, nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. Why did they do that to me? I don't know why I do that voice whenever I use that, but it just, for some reason, just comes out that way. Because that's the way that we see ourselves when we're a victim. Is weak and inept and completely incapable of dealing with the world around us. But God says, nope, I'm your strength when you're weak. And when we begin to reinforce our mind with His Word, the circumstances that we face that seem like a curse can actually be the thing that allows us to encounter God in the most genuine way. And maybe for you, you're like, Jason, I don't feel rejected. Well, then open your eyes and look around to the world around you, because there's a whole lot of people that do. There's a whole lot of people that are crying out for acceptance on Facebook and social media and in your office. But instead of complaining about that woman who will not shut up, that talks about the drama in her life, dear God, recognize that that person that annoys you, open your eyes and recognize that that person is crying out for acceptance and love. And the rest of the world has taken a step back from her, or from that guy, whoever it may be in your life, whoever it may be that's part of your world, the world has taken a step back from them. And here they are feeling rejected, like they're wearing a bell around their neck and everybody runs every time that they come near. And we can get so caught up in our own circumstances and in our own stuff that we forget to stop and open our eyes. Open your eyes. If you're hurting today, open your eyes and realize that the lie that you've believed is true, God's Word says differently. And those thoughts that you keep having that keep surfacing, you got to take them captive. You got to say, that's not real, that's not true, this is what God says about me. And at first it's going to seem really awkward. Like you're looking in the mirror going, but I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. It's going to feel that way at first. But when it goes from your head to your heart, you'll start to walk with more confidence, knowing that He's your strength, knowing that He's never left you, knowing that in Him all things are possible, knowing that He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And the reality that seems to surface around you is simply just a breeze, but we've made it into a storm. First, we open our eyes. Second, we step forward. Step forward. For some of you that are hurting, for some of you that are broken, for some of you that are completely and totally isolated in your life, I want you to understand this. Step forward. This is a place where you can belong. This is a place where you can be loved. This is a place where you can be accepted. But more than that, this is a place where you can encounter Jesus. And that will change your everything. Oh, they can give you all kinds of classes and programs and steps, but when you encounter Jesus, the creator of all the universe, who knows your ins, your outs, your ups, your downs, your highlights, and even your darkest moments, He knows every single thing, and He still says, you are mine, and I love you more than you could ever imagine. He doesn't take a step back, He steps up. Who do you need to step toward? Somebody in your world? Or do you need to take a step toward Christ? You've been trying to do it on your own. Trying to manage it. Trying to make it happen. Trying to make it work. And it doesn't. We don't have the capacity, the ability to change our lives. We have the ability to surrender it, so that the one who created it can reshape it. And with a mere touch and a mere encounter, He can change everything that's been missing and make you new. Just like He did with the leper. I love what Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given the glory. For those of us who have been seeking and following Christ, and we call Him Lord, we call Him Savior, you call Him friend, however you refer to Him. If He is the one you follow, open your eyes and look around you. Who do you need to step up towards? Because you are not here by chance. You are placed in a person's path so that you could be an example of the love that God has for us. But if you're hurting and broken, then I want you to hear these words. That as you step toward Christ, Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." James 4:8 says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." In Philippians 2, Jesus left heaven. He stepped into flesh so that we could be accepted by God. He stepped forward and He broke the law. Do you realize that? The leper could have been killed because he stepped forward into the middle of that crowd of people because it was considered against the law for him to be there. And Jesus, He broke the law when He touched a leper. He became unclean. But the God who created it all broke the law, left heaven, came to earth, and He fulfilled every single thing that we weren't capable of doing on our own. And then He gave His life so that you could have life. John 15, the whole chapter talks about abiding in Him and Him in you. And when the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, I want you to understand something. It's not about getting closer to God. It's about staying connected to Him. Because if the Spirit lives in you, you can't get much closer than that. It's not about being close to God. I feel distant from God. Just reconnect. Just reconnect. He's still there with you. The thing is, He's never left you. He hasn't forgotten who you are or what you're going through. He meets you where you are. My dad used to say, you don't have to get cleaned up to take a bath. You just get in. And there's nothing that's truer about that. You don't have to get your crap together. Hear me. You don't have to have all your junk straightened out in order to come to Jesus. All the stuff that you've been carrying and hoarding forever, it's time to have a garage sale. A spiritual cleansing. And when you show up, He says, I've already paid for all that stuff. Let's move forward. Let's pray. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. God, I am beyond humbled that You demonstrate Your love in a way that I can't even completely comprehend. I try to continue. And God, as we go through our everyday situations and circumstances, Lord, help our eyes to be fixed on You. Lord, help us to see You in our world. God, help us not to lose heart outwardly, even though it feels like we're wasting away. God, inwardly renew us day by day, that these momentary troubles would achieve us something eternal. And Lord, help us to fix our eyes not on what's seen. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on You, because we know even though You're unseen, You're eternal. You're shaping and directing our future, our world, and our life. God, we thank You. We thank You. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and you're not here by chance today. Some of you that have been following Jesus for a long time, as you have been in this room this morning, as we've been talking and dialoguing, whether it's been me mainly speaking, but God speaking to your heart more than that. If you say, yeah, there are people in my world that I need to step up to, God, help me, help open my eyes and help me step forward. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Yeah, all around the room. God, help us step up. Help us step forward to the people in our life that are hurting, that are feeling abandoned, that are feeling isolated and unloved. God, the ones that are holding signs up. Help us to read through the words that are being said. Help us to see beyond, between the lines, God, and to love them beyond our own line, God, to extend ourselves to your capacity, not just ours. God, the same way that you've loved us, help us to love them. Still with every head bowed, every eye closed, some of you are here today, you say, you know what, I do, I feel rejected. I feel abandoned, I feel isolated, I feel alone. And I need to squash that lie. I need to crush it. And I need to come step forward to who God wants me to be, to step into His grace and into His love. If you need to give your heart to Jesus, if you need to surrender your life to Him and say, Jesus, I'm yours. Help me see myself the way you see me. If you want to give your heart to Jesus today, just raise your hand and meet me eye to eye. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this community of people. Lord, I pray that you extend our capacity to love, that the empty chair would be a reflection of the people that we need to fill this space that are abandoned and rejected in our own lives. Lord, help us to extend beyond these walls. Help us to extend to them that love and grace that you poured out on us. God, we thank you for your strength. Thank you for your love and your mercy. And it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, Amen.